a pleasant evening to each of you. Delighted we have this opportunity tonight to study the Word of God before the work week begins, that we can come together on the Lord's Day and continue to think on those things which are high and holy. I want to thank Brother Guy for an outstanding sermon this morning. Brother Guy always does such an outstanding job. Following Brother Guy reminds me of a time I was on the lectureship, and I know some of them have wondered how I got on there. And I said, well, someone had to offer the invitation. And sometimes I feel like I'm here just to offer the invitation. Brother Guy, you do a great job. We love you and appreciate you. If you take your Bible tonight and turn with me to the Roman letter and the 5th chapter, I want to read with you a couple of verses from the Paul's in chapter 5. Look, if you will, at verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, one thing that is difficult in preaching many times is to get the right balance. You try to get people to understand their obligation to obedience. You try to get people to understand their need to follow the will of God and have faith in God. And at the same time, you want people to see the grace of God. And many times, if we're not careful, we'll neglect one or the other. But many times, I'm fearful that in our preaching, we neglect teaching about the grace of God. And I'm convinced that our minds will really never be able to fully understand the grace of God. You know, because it is so unbelievable that God would forgive a sinful, wicked man like Michael Richardson. But tonight, when I think about the fact that God is willing to forgive me, if I put my faith in Him and obey His will, that God will extend grace, God will extend mercy, that my sins may be blotted out. Many times, many people won't come to the Lord because they feel so much guilt for their sin. They say, well, God could not forgive me. But I beg to differ with that point of view. I think many times we neglect to see how powerful God is and the might God has and the mercy and grace that God can bestow upon an individual. But then many times a member of the body of Christ will question, just how much can God forgive me? Many times we realize our shortcoming and sin, we recognize our failing, and we think, how could God continue to forgive me when I have committed sin after sin? And it's my desire at this time to study with you in regard to how much God can forgive. The first thing I want to put into our mind is that forgiveness is through Christ. That when you think about being forgiven, forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. And we need to establish that in our minds, that forgiveness of sin by the grace of God can only be accomplished in Christ. When you go back to the Roman letter that we read just a moment ago in chapter 5, notice that when Paul was writing in verse 21, he said, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Now watch it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is because of Jesus Christ. And grace might reign through Christ. Then take your Bible and go back a page in the Roman letter and look in the 3rd chapter. In Romans chapter 3, look at what Paul said, and hopefully in the future, if the Lord wills I live and am able to preach another sermon, we'll deal with this text. But look at what he said in verse 24. In verse 24, he said, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice both times it said grace comes through whom? Christ Jesus. Now without any doubt and without any controversy tonight, you and I can agree that the Bible says grace is accomplished through the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there would be no grace. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Colossian letter and the 2nd chapter for just a moment. And when you come to the Colossian letter and the 2nd chapter, look at what is said in about verse 13. He said, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He is made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, who has done that? Jesus. He made us alive. That is, we received the grace of God, and only by and through His Son. That's why when Paul penned the letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, he talked about, as the Scripture has recorded, that Jesus died, buried, and raised again. And he talked about that is through that accomplishment of Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sin. So the first thing we've established is forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. But the second thing I want to put into our heart is the view of how God removes sin. Have you ever just stopped to think about some of the scriptural pictures given to us from the divine inspiration of how God removes sin? And I want us to turn to the book and see how the Lord, what He does to remove sin. Go to the Old Testament and get some pictures with me that the writers of God gave in regard to the removal of sin. Turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah and the 38th chapter. In Isaiah 38, notice that the prophet of God is writing, and notice what he says in verse 17. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. Now watch it. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. Underscore, cast your sins behind your back. I like that statement. He puts them behind Him. And every time someone turns, if they're behind their back, they're not going to see Him. And what He is saying is God has done away with sin. And this talks about the forgiveness of sin. He doesn't see the sin anymore because it's behind His back. But then if you take your Bible, go back to the book of Isaiah again, and this time look in the 43rd chapter. And in Isaiah 43, look at the statement that is made by the man of God again in verse 25. In Isaiah 43 and verse 25, he says, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now look at that statement very carefully and measure what I say by the Word of God. Notice he said, I blot them out and I remember them no more. I love that statement. It reminds me a little bit of what the Apostle Peter said in the book of Acts in the 3rd chapter. When the Apostle Peter was talking on that day, you remember he talked to them about being converted? And he says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, one thing I recognize tonight is that God has the power, God has the ability, God can blot out sin, and God can take them away and remember them no more. God casts them behind His back, God blots them out. Isn't it a wonderful thing tonight to know that my sin can be blotted out? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how low you've gone. It doesn't matter how far away from God you've been. If you repent of your sin and make your life right, God can forgive you of your sin. If you've never been baptized, I don't care what you've done. I've had some people say, preacher, you just don't know how filthy and ungodly I've been. You know, that's really none of my business. That's between you and God. But you know God's power will blot out your sin. Do not ever underestimate the power of my God. But I want you to think about another thing. When you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Micah for just a moment. And when you come to the minor prophet Micah, notice what that man of God had to say in the 7th chapter. In the 7th chapter and the 19th verse, notice a wonderful thought from this minor prophet. He said, He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Look at that statement. First, God cast them behind His back. Secondly, God blotted them out. Now third, He said He cast them into the depths of the sea where they will not be remembered. time and time again, the writer said, God is taking away sin when man makes his life right with God. But that brings up another thought. Take your Bible and look in the 103rd Psalm. And when you go to the 103rd Psalm, what a beautiful thought the psalmist says when you read from the divine inspiration. Notice what he says in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, for He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. Now you know, my friend, that gives me a lot of comfort. First of all, when I make my life right with God, He said He removes my sin as far as the east is from the west. You can't get any further than that. He is saying that that is in complete opposition. Your sin goes one way, you go the other. And He said God has removed it that far. And notice that wonderful statement. He remembers our frame. We are dust. Oh, I'm thankful He remembers that. I'm so thankful that when He looked down at me, He remembers that I am of dust and I have sinned, but that when I repent of my sin and I come to my God can blot out my sin. But that brings up another thought in our study. And I think it's a beautiful thought. I want you to think about the fact that in Colossians chapter 1, we can be free from accusation. Look, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1 for just a moment. And look, if you will, at verses 21 and 22. In verses 21 and 22 of Colossians chapter 1, he said, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Oh, look at that carefully. He said, you once were alienated. You were enemies of God. You did wickedly, but now you've been reconciled. You've been brought back into relationship with God. And now He said, you're to be holy and blameless. You ever thought about that? And then He said, you continue in the faith. So thus far, I think about the fact that we can begin to see the grace of God in regard to sin. But that brings up the third thought. And the third thought I want to put into my heart and your heart as we think about this week is, how much can God forgive? Now that's a great issue. Just how much can God forgive? Well, if you're an alien sinner, I'll tell you, my friend, you've never been baptized. If you put your faith in God, I care not. God can forgive. But now you have to repent of your sin. And you have to confess. And you have to be baptized upon your faith. And you have to be willing to make the change. But when you change, God blots out your sin. But what about us Christians? Ever thought about that when we come and we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin? Look in the Old Testament at David. You ever thought about David? David didn't just sin when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah murdered and lied about it. You remember David sinned in 2 Samuel 6 in the way that he was bringing the ark back. You remember later on David sinned in taking a census of the people. Yet he was still called a man after God's own heart. And David was the one who recognized his transgressions. Look in the 51st Psalm for just a moment and notice David understood he had sinned against God. And notice he said, "Have mercy upon me," in verse 1, "O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Look at that plural. Transgressions. He goes back to the word we said again. Blot out. Remember them no more. Take them out of the book. Do not hold them against me. But then look at Peter. When you're looking for an example of a Christian that sinned, look at Peter. You know in Matthew 16:23, he was called Satan by the
suffered. When he came to Jesus and said, you won't suffer, you won't go to the cross, what did Jesus say? He looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God. You're thinking in a worldly manner. In Matthew 14, you remember when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter said, tell me, bid me to walk to you. And he begins to walk and then he starts to sink. What does Jesus say to him? Oh, you of little faith. And then we think about the time he denied the Lord, not just one time, but three times. And yet the Lord forgave him. In John 21, he was restored. But that brings up another. What about us? Now I want to put two or three things into our hearts so we understand them, and I'm not misunderstood or misrepresented. First of all, one does not continue in sin so that grace may abound. In the book of Romans, in the 6th chapter and verse 1, Paul deals with that. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid it. He said, if you're dead to sin, you don't continue to live in it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't fall short as Christians. That doesn't mean we don't stumble. That doesn't mean we don't sin. But what he's saying is, you don't continue to live in it and continue to willfully and deliberately and purposely continue in sin and say, well, God's grace will cover it. That's not what this is about. That is making a mockery of the grace of my Lord. But what he's saying is when you do fall short, as he said in 1 John 2:1, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He is willing to forgive us. But that brings up something else. When I confess my sin, he forgives me. In 1 John 1:9, he said, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. When? When I confess them. And could it be that sometimes the problem is, we feel weary, and we think God is weary of us confessing our sins. Maybe sometimes we have trouble forgiving ourselves, but we have trouble forgiving our past, and we think God has the same trouble. I'll tell you, my friend, I believe God rejoices to know that I want to repent and change. I can see one asking God, help, I'm doing the same thing I did before. I like what I read in one book. One fellow said, Lord, I did it again. And the Lord said, what? Why? When he forgives, he blots it out. He remembers it no more. But I want to tell you something. The devil wants us to feel like God won't forgive us. The devil is the great accuser. And the Satan means accuser. He's the accuser of the brother. And Satan will tell you, God won't forgive you. Mike Richardson, how dare you get up and preach the gospel? You know who you are. How dare you get up and lead the singing an individual? Not Mike Richardson. That would be horrible. But or do the Lord's Supper. Or what? How can you do those things? You know who you are. And you know what that is? That's Satan trying to distract us from remembering God's power to forgive. Anytime you feel God doesn't forgive, you remember one thing. The devil's a liar, and he'll tell you that every time. He wants us to feel guilty, so guilty that we live in guilt. And I'll tell you, what we need to remember is when I have God blot out my sin, I'm free from that sin. Now, there may be consequences from it. I may still have to deal with things here, but one thing I know is I'm right with God. You ever thought about the beauty of the grace of God? He is willing to forgive. Now, we have to do our part. But isn't it wonderful that God forgives? I've had people come to me and talk about things they've done. And I'll tell you, sometimes I just feel heartbroken. Some addicted to drugs. Some have had things done in their life that I couldn't speak of in public. But I'll tell you one thing. Isn't it wonderful to know no matter how far you fall, when you come back, God forgives. How much can He forgive? Don't underestimate.
He has the power to blot out sin that is repented of. Now tonight I got one question for you. What sin is in your life that you need to get rid of? I tell you what, you repent of it, and my God will blot it out. What joy to know I'm walking with God. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel or be restored, our prayers you'd come as together we stand.